Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not familiar with our Gemara Marking system, you will benefit greatly by clicking on the Learn the System option, which is available on the sidebar of our home page. If you are partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the pre-marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. Today's shiur begins 7 lines from the top, Daf Kuf Mem Gimel, at the Mishnah. Beishamay Omrim, Mavirin Me'al Hashulchan, Atzomois Uklifin. Beishamay says that on Shabbos you can remove by hand bones and shells, things that are themselves not edible, but they were part of food that you were eating on Shabbos. Ubeis Hillel Oimrim, Mesalek es hatavlo kulo umenaro. Beis Hillel, in the Mishnah, gives the impression that he is more stringent and says that you cannot remove the bones and shells directly by hand, but you must take the table, the tavla, sounds like the English word table, especially if you look at it phonetically, and carry the table aside and shake it off from its contents, from the bones and shells. That approach would be similar to that of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds from Muktzah. It's a rather strange Mishnah as it is, and in fact the Gemara will point out this point that Beis Hillel is Machmir, and because in general we know Beis Hillel is lenient and Beis Shammai is the Machmir. The Mishnah continues, Mavirin me'al hashulchan pirurin pachos mikazayas. One removes from the table crumbs that are less than an olive in quantity. V'se'ar shel afunim v'se'ar adoshim. The word se'ar, Rashi points out, is a reference to pods of different leguminous vegetables like afunim and adoshim, sometimes translated as peas and lentils. V'tnei shehu maichol behema. The pods in which these grow are in fact edible by animals, animal feed, and therefore it's mutter to move them off on Shabbos. Sfog, a sponge. In fact, the word sfog, with a little imagination, you can see a hint to the word sponge in that word. A sponge, im yesh lo or beis achiza, if it has a leather handle, mekanchin boy, you can use it for wiping it off. The imlav ein mekanchin bo, if it doesn't have a leather handle, but rather you would be holding it in your hand between your fingers, then you cannot use it for wiping off. And Rashi says, shekisha'oichsoi, when you're holding it, nischat bein etzba'oisov, there would be a squeezing out, schita. Schita is a malacha, form of malacha on Shabbos, and therefore squeezing out is forbidden. Therefore, only if it has a leather handle where you're not holding the sponge directly would you be allowed to use it. Benkach ubenkach, nital b'Shabbos, the eno mekabel tumo. Whether it has a handle or not, and the sponge is dry, it is a type of thing that you're allowed to move on Shabbos, and it is not mekabel tumo. So we have an interesting phenomenon here of something that is not classified as a vessel, and we see that by virtue of the fact that it's not mekabel tumo, and that's a function of it not being one of the materials, so that in fact we could say it is a vessel, but it's not a vessel that's subject to Kabbalah's Tumah. So, being that it has a vessel status to it, it's something that can be moved on Shabbos. But as far as Kabbalah's Tumah, Tumah is absorbed only by specific materials as the Torah denotes. But sponge is not, as Rashi points out, it's not wood, it's not fabric, it's not sackcloth, nor is it metal. Now, the Gemara. Before we begin the Gemara, we just want to remind that we pointed out already that the Mishnah Girsa of Beis Shammai being Machmir and Beis Shammai being Mekil and Beis Hillel being Machmir is odd. So Omar Rav Nachman Onu Ein Lanu Elo Beis Shammai Kerev Yehuda Ubeis Hillel Kerev Shimon. Basically, Rav Nachman switches around the gear, so he says that the more accurate version of the Mishnah would be where Beis Shammai is the Machmir, like Reb Yehuda, and would say that you can only shake off the table, and Beis Hillel is the Mekil, like Rabbi Shimon, that says Ein Muktzah, and since there's no concept of Muktzah, you can remove these things, the Atzamos and Klipin, directly with your hands. The topic heading that we have assigned to this sugya, basically we've already introduced, but it's still never too late. On the side you can see under the topic heading that appears a bit above, Havaras Atzamos Klipin Vegarinim Me'al Gabi Ashulchan, the removal of bones, shells, and pits from a table. We continue. Mavirin Me'al Ashulchan Pirurin. The Mishnah mentioned that you remove crumbs from off the table, and the Mishnah even said crumbs that are less than a kezayis, smaller than an olive in quantity. So our Gemara points out, Misaya Leila Rabbi Yochanan, our Mishnah supports Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Pirun Shebem Kezayis, crumbs, pieces of bread that are less than an olive in quantity, Osur La'abdon Biyad. You're not allowed to destroy them directly by hand, to throw them in a destructive substance, let's say, or to crush them and destroy them. And why? How do we see that? So the fact that the Mishnah says remove them by hand and don't throw them out, that shows us that our Mishnah supports Rabbi Yochanan. You have to treat with respect pieces of bread that are less than a kezayis. The Gemara continues, Seor Shel Afunim Moni. The Mishnah is according to whom? Our Mishnah mentioned the Seor Shel Afunim is something that is removed from the table because it is Michael Behema. So our Mishnah is that views the Seor Shel Afunim as something that is allowed to be moved directly by hand. Our Mishnah is money. According to whom? Rabbi Shimon he, the less lay muktzah. Our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon that does not hold from the muktzah prohibition. Rashi points out, D'i Rabbi Yehuda me'esmo lav lebehemo kaimi. If our Mishnah was according to Rabbi Yehuda, these pods with their vegetation inside of them were not fit for an animal. The food was together with them. And today he's eating the contents. So that being that on the upon the entrance of Shabbos, it was not fit for an animal, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would not be allowed to move these because everything is based on what its status was at the entrance of Shabbos. At the entrance of Shabbos, you wouldn't have fed these to an animal. It contained food that people eat. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would have been classified as muktzah and hence not be allowed to be moved directly. And our Mishnah says you can move it, showing us that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, that does not hold from muktzah, that even if something had won status at the entrance of Shabbos in the course of Shabbos, that changed, it doesn't serve as a prohibition. Emo Seifa. Well, let's say the Seifa of the Mishnah. Sfoig im yesh loy beis achiza. A sponge, if it has a handle, mekan chenboi. V'im lav, if it doesn't have the handle, and you would be holding the sponge directly, ein mekan chenboi. You're not allowed to use it before wiping off. And why was that? Because you might come to squeezing out the liquid that it absorbed. Now, is your intention to squeeze out the liquid? No, your intention is to wipe off the table. Well, and yet we see a prohibition, even though you don't have kavana for it. I saw in the Rebbe Yehuda the Amar Dovor Shein Miskavein Oser. Our Mishnah then comes out like Rebbe Yehuda, who says that a Dovor Shein Miskavein, something that is unintentional, if it's a prohibited result, even though it's unintentional, it is prohibited. So what are we to make of our Mishnah? There seems to be inconsistency. It begins like one Tana and then switches into to another Tana without any indication as such in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Beho afilu Rabbi Shimon Moideh," with regard to the sponge without a handle, even Rabbi Shimon, who is generally speaking lenient, he will concede that here there is a restriction. Both Abaye and Rava say, "Moideh Rabbi Shimon b'psik reishe velo yomus," that Rabbi Shimon, who is generally lax or lenient, will concede when when the result of prohibition is inevitable, which is alluded to by the term psik reishe velo yomus, it is forbidden. So that even though you might not have intention to squeeze out the sponge, but when you're using a sponge to absorb and clean off liquids, it's inevitable that if you're holding it directly, you will be squeezing it out. You will be over on schita. The Gemara continues, speaking about, as we indicate under our no say, the topic heading on the side, Tiltul Garine Tmorem, Shehe Michael Behema. We're going to speak about the movement of date pits. Date pits are something that animals eat. So our Gemara continues, Hani Garinim de Tamri, date pits. The Mishnah, or the Gemara, breaks down date pits into two categories based on different varieties of dates. Our Maisa, these are a poor quality date. Rashi says that they are Tmorim Royim Heim, Umachilim Tmorim Atzmon Behema. We feed the animals the actual date themselves, the date with the pit. Hilkoch Agavimai Lebehema Nami Kaimi. Therefore, the entire entity, the date, meat with the pit is designated for animals. Therefore, as the Gemara says, Armaisa Shoru Litiltulainu, the Armaisa date pits, one is mutter to move them, Hoyil the Achazion Agav Imon, since they are fit together with the original, literally the parent, but it means the original meat that was surrounding them, so that the date pit is not something new. It's not an example of something that would be muktze, because in its original form, together with the date itself, it was something you would give to an animal. So originally it was something you would give to an animal, and now that it's a pit alone, it is designed for an animal, therefore it's mutter to move it. However, u de parsiyosa osur. The parsiosa type date, that's a good quality date. That's something that people eat. So it's also to give the pits after you ate the date. When Shabbos set in, it was something that you were, as a person, you were going to eat it. And when you finished eating the date and all that was left was the pit, well, now the pit is something fit for an animal. But when Shabbos set in, it wasn't fit for an animal. This Gemara, it would appear, is going along this particular ruling would seem to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that holds from Muktza. The Gemara continues, Shmuel metaltel lehu agav rifta. Shmuel would move the date pits, these parsiyosa date pits, together with bread. And we've seen this idea in previous dapim of moving otherwise forbidden things, when you're moving them along with, we saw the idea of kikar otino, and here we have a rifta. Rifta is bread, just like the kikar term we've seen earlier. We see an abbreviation in a parenthesis, sharnam shapaz. The abbreviation will have meaning as we scan ahead in the Gemara. You see a number of letters that are noted with a double underline. They are references to different names in a series of opinions regarding the movement of these pits. So Shmuel, we just learned, moved the pits together with bread. Shmuel etame. Shmuel is consistent with what he said elsewhere. The Omar Shmuel oisa adam kol tzorcho bapas. A person can do all of his needs, whatever he wants, with bread, and it's not considered a denigration, a bizoyon to the bread. Rabba metatlu agav lakma demayo. Rava would move the date pits together with a receptacle of water. A lakna is a receptacle holding water. Rashi says, Sefel Shelmayim, a bowl or a cup of water. Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yeshua, Ovid Lehu, Kigraf Shel Rei. Rashi explains that as he was eating the dates, he would accumulate a pile of pits in front of him until they were disgusting, and then he would carry them away based on the heter, the allowance known as graf shel rei. A graf shel rei literally is a receptacle that holds feces, which, if something develops in front of you on Shabbos that's disgusting, you're allowed to move it away. So he would, after eating a number of dates, a pile of these pits would accumulate. He would then pick them up and put them in front of his animal. Amar Leih Rav Ashi Lameimar. Rav Ashi raises an objection to what we just heard, and he asks, Ameimar v'chi oisin graf shari'i lechadchila. Is it mutter to set up a situation that will become disgusting? In other words, if in the course of Shabbos something disgusting appears in front of you without any previous planning, so you can move it away. However, to set up a situation where you know it will be disgusting, and then based on that take advantage of this leniency, that is not allowed. So we can just leave that as a question or an exclamation. No answer for that. In other words, Rav Ashi is simply expressing his objection. We continue. Rav Sheshes Zorek Luhu Belishne. Rav Sheshes would eat the dates and put the whole date in his mouth, and after removing with his mouth the date from the pit, he would then toss the pit with a type of tongue flick. Rav Papa Zorik Luhu Achore Amita. Rav Papa was sitting on a bed, and that was a common environment for eating. So as he was eating on the bed, he would just throw them over the back of the bed. Omulov Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulis Shehoya Machzir Ponov Achore Amita Vizorkon. And it was told concerning Rav Zechariah ben Avkulis the same thing, that he would turn his face around and toss them behind the bed. That concludes the 21st perek of Shabbos, and we continue with perek Chavis, the 22nd perek. This, of course, is at the top of Omid Beis. Chavis Shenishbara. A barrel that broke, and from the context it appears that we're talking about a barrel of wine that broke. Matzilin heimeno mozon shalosh sudos. You can save as the barrel is dripping or a stream is flowing out. You can save three meals worth of in this case of wine. This is allowed even if it involves using many vessels, but if you are using many vessels, you're allowed to save three meals worth. If you were saving the wine in one vessel, then as much as that one vessel will hold, you're allowed to save. We've seen this idea in previous sections of Gemara, and when we were learning this issue over there, this involved carrying it from one type of private domain into another type of private domain. The Mishnah continues and says, the Omer Le'achirim, the owner whose barrel cracked, can then announce to others, Bo v'hatsilu lochem, go and save for yourselves. Ubilvad shelo yispog. Rashi says, "Uvachili spoke shelo yosim svoig b'mokam ayayin lachso latifo b'kli." What you're not allowed to do is to place a sponge where the wine is flowing, with the hope of the sponge absorbing the wine, and then to have it drip into a vessel. And the reason for that is because if you do that, you might end up squeezing out the sponge. So, as a gzera that you don't come to squeeze out the sponge, don't even start using it to begin with. Ein sochten es haper sotzim en mashkin. One is not allowed to squeeze out fruits on Shabbos for the purpose of having their juice content flow. Ve'im yotz me'atzmon asurin. And if fruits, let's say, were sitting in a bowl and juice started to ooze out from them, so the juice is forbidden. And the reason for that is that if we would allow you to use the juice that came out on its own, you might come to squeeze out the fruits as a first choice. Rabbi Yehuda makes a distinction regarding the fruits that were sitting in a bowl with the juices oozing out. It all depends on what the reason for your gathering the fruits was in the first place. In Le'oichlin, if you gathered the fruits for eating purposes, then Hayotzei Mehen Oser, Mutter, that is, the juice that comes out of them would be Mutter, would be allowed. V'im L'mashkin, if you gathered fruits for the purpose of producing fruit juice from those fruits, and now we have juice that came out on its own, Hayotzei Mehen Oser, that which comes out, that which exudes from them, will be prohibited. And you can understand that if the fruits in question were for juice purposes, and now you've got juice that came out on its own from them, the fear is if we allow you to use that juice, you're going to come to squeeze out the fruits themselves. In the case, however, of fruits that you gathered for eating, if juice oozed from them, you're not interested in the juice that came from them. So that even if you drink that juice, the fruits that remain, you're not going to want to squeeze out. You gather them for eating purposes. Chalos dvash sherizkon me'erev Shabbos. Chalos dvash are cakes of honey. Honey with the wax that is formed in a honeycomb by the bees. The chalos dvash that are crushed from Erev Shabbos, the yotzu me'atzmon, and the honey oozed forth from on its own, asurin. It's usur to benefit from that honey on Shabbos. The reason being that you might come to do the same, to crush on Shabbos the chalos dvash. For Rabbi Eliezer Matir, Rabbi Eliezer is lenient and allows you to use the honey that came out on its own. He does not make a gezerah. The Gemara. Tana, lo yispog v'yayin v'lo yitpach v'shemen. Regarding the use of a sponge for absorbing wine or oil, one should not do that. The Gemara reveals to us that the reason not to use the sponge for absorbing the wine nor oil is simply not to do like you would do during the weekdays. The Tosfos at the top points out, even if there is a leather handle and there is no chashash of schita, there's no chashash of squeezing out, we still prohibit because of this consideration of lo yaseh kederech sho'oseh b'choil. We've seen this concept in other Gemaras that we termed uvdin d'chol, and we pointed out, based on Gemaras that we've learned, that on Shabbos, one's behavior, even if you're dealing with an action that itself is acceptable, but it's reminiscent of a weekday type action, on Shabbos, you are expected to refrain from it. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that deals with fruits that scattered. Nispasu peres b'chotzer, a bunch of fruits scattered in a courtyard. Malakid al yad, one can gather them one by one. The next word, the oichel Tosfos says not to be gores. Avol, so the source goes on to say, avolo l'tocha sal v'lo l'tocha kupa, but not to gather the fruits and have a, let's say, a basket or a box next to you and pile the fruits into a box or a basket. Shelo yaseh kederech shu oiseh b'choil. It should not look like what one would do during a weekday. So if fruit's scattered, you pick up one fruit, put it on the table or in the refrigerator, one by one, and not to gather them together and put them in a box and then carry the box full of fruits away to where you want. Ein sochten es haperos. Our Mishnah said that one is prohibited in squeezing out fruits. Before we go further, let's glance at the side where we have our Nosei Mivne heading, the topic and structural note, where you see a double underline, and we've noted in our note there, Machloikas Amoroyim will have an Amoraic controversy, Beshitas Rebbe Yehuda, within the Tanaic authority of Rebbe Yehuda, Bimashkin Shiyotsu Mizeisin Vanovim Shechnisam La'achila. Here we have an interesting combination. Zeisim are olives, anovim are grapes. These are two fruits that are most popular for their juice content, olive oil and wine. In our discussion, we're going to be speaking about one who collected them for eating purposes. In the Mishnah, we saw Reb Yehuda with a leniency regarding liquids that exuded from fruits that were gathered for eating purposes. What about Zeisim and Anovim that were gathered for eating purposes? Does that provide the main consideration, your purpose, or does the fact that they have a unique popularity to them for their juice content change the picture? Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Moide Hoya Rav Yehuda L'Chachomim B'Zeisim V'Anovim. Rav Yehuda would concede to the Chachomim. The Chachomim were the first opinion in the Mishnah that made no distinction with regard to fruits, and they ruled that liquids that come out on their own of all fruits are prohibited. So Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel tells us that Rav Yehuda, who had a leniency, would concede to the Chachomim's stringency with regard to Zeisim and Anovim. Even if you gathered them for eating purposes, the juice that exudes from them will be prohibited. My time off. Why this stringency? Kevan de l'schita ninu yohiv daite, since they are designated, generally speaking, for schita, for pressing, for squeezing, you have that in mind even with regard to those zeisim and anovim that you gathered for eating. So that since it's on your mind that you would benefit from juices that exude from them, we don't want you to use those juices that exuded on Shabbos. The Ula Marav, Ula, quoting Rav, says, Cholukoy Rav Yehuda af b'zeisim v'anovim, that Rav Yehuda would maintain his dissenting opinion even with regard to zeisim v'anovim that you gathered for eating purposes and juices exuded from them on their own, you would be allowed to use them. Rav Yochanan Amar halacha k'Rebbe Yehuda b'shar peiros. The halacha will follow Rav Yehuda that if you gather them for eating, you can use the juices. That's with regard to other kinds of fruits. The ein halacha Rav Yehuda b'zeisim v'anovim. However, with regard to zeisim and anovim, we will not follow his ruling. And therefore, even if you gather the zeisim v'anovim for eating, you cannot use that which exudes from them. Omar Rabba, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. This is quite reminiscent of the quote we saw above, which in fact were the same names, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, where the double underline appeared a few lines up, that Rav Yehuda will concede to the Chachamim with regard to Zeisim and Anovim, that even if you gather them for eating, the juices that exude from them on their own will be prohibited. Umoidim Chachamim, the Rav Yehuda, and the Chachamim, who seem to be stringent, will concede to Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peros. In other words, they will adopt Rabbi Yehuda with regard to other peros. Wow, this is very interesting. You have everyone agreeing with the other one. So, is there any controversy left? Omar le Rabbi Yirmiyahu le Rabbi Abba, el abamai pligi. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks Rabbi Abba, then what are they arguing about? If Rabbi Yehuda concedes to the Chachamim and Zesim Ananovim, and the Chachamim concede to Rabbi Yehuda with regard to other fruits, so there doesn't seem to be any controversy left. Omar Le, Lechi Tishkach. So Rabbi Abba says to Rabbi Yirmiyah, go out and find the point of controversy. More kind of like sounds like Rabbi Abba's encouraging Rabbi Yirmiyah to try to work it out on his own or exert some effort to find the answer. Omar of Nachman bar Yitzchak, Mistabra betutim verimoinim pligi. It's most likely that they argue regarding these kinds of fruits, tutim and rimoinim. We've pointed out in the past in Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shiurim, that we hesitate from offering translations unless they are based on a strong tradition. When it comes to other plants and animals that we don't have a long-running tradition as to what they are, so there are, of course, many wonderful Sforim and translations that exist, but Gemara markings hesitates. In this case, we can simply say that tutim in modern Hebrew is translated, is taken to mean strawberries. Whether that's the kavona of the Gemara, that is beyond our realm. Rimonim is often translated as pomegranates. So, assuming that for the time being, Rav Nachman is telling us that regarding tutim and rimonim, there will be a machlokes. Again, we have to emphasize we're talking about tutim and rimonim that one gathered for juice-making purposes. Now, Rashi adds a little more detail. Let's glance at the Rashi together. Mistabra betutim v'rimonim pligi, de'ika de'bo'u lehu lemashkin. There are those that use tutim and rimonim for their juice content. Hilkoch mashvu lehu rabbonim kezeis v'anovim. Therefore, the rabbonim will give them a zeisim and anovim status, which will be restrictive with regard to the juices that oozed on their own. For Rabbi Yehuda, polig olayo. And on this, Rabbi Yehuda will disagree and be lenient. Avol shar peros, leko deboy lu lemashkin. But other kinds of fruits, meaning other than grapes and olives, tutim and rimonim, other kinds of fruits, peaches, plums, and the whole gamut of fruits, leko deboy lu lemashkin. People do not use them for their juice content. Hilkach modu rabbonon bohem. Therefore, the rabbonon will concede that the juices that oozed out on their own, one can benefit from. There's no fear that people will squeeze them out. You can well imagine, when it comes to the realm of halacha lamaisa, how this will be worthy of analysis when you're in areas that the minig is to use them for their juice content, peach juice and plum juice, etc., what the approach would be then. But for the time being, we're dealing with Rashi, and he makes it clear to us that with regard to other kinds of fruits, the Rabbanan will agree that they are for eating purposes. And therefore, we can be lenient with regard to the juices that ooze from them on their own. And now the Gemara gives us a Tanaic source in which this will appear. The Sanya. Zesim, and we should point out just by way of markings, you can see that we've highlighted the different kinds of fruits with a squiggle underline. So if you scan ahead, you see that this source will touch upon Zesim, Anovim, Tutim, and Rimoinim. Of course, we also want to pay attention to the names of Tanoim that we will see, because we're looking for a point of machloikis. So the source begins, Zesim Shemoshach Mehen Shemen, the olives that Moshach means flowed on their own. That juice, the olive oil flowed on its own. Vanovim Shemoshach Mehen Yayin, and grapes, that wine flowed on its own from them. And the original fruits were gathered, whether it be for eating or for their juice content. Hayotze mehen osur. That which exudes from them is forbidden. Tutim shemoshach mehem mayim. The word mayim is, for our purposes, juice. The word, it literally is water, but it's the juice of tutim. Rimonim shemoshach mehem yayin. The word yayin literally is wine, but rimonim, juice. Again, so that the words mayim and yayin should not confuse anybody, it's simply a reference to the tutim and rimonim juice that oozed from them. Vihichnisan. It depends. La'ochlin, if you gathered the tutim and rimonim for eating purposes, hayotze mehen mutter, that which exudes from them is allowed. Lemashkin, if you gather them for juice purposes, u lestam, hayotze mehen osur, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The stam is an important word in the as the Gemara continues, but the word stam means without any specific purpose in mind. That which, if you gather them for mashkin or stam, hayotzmen also, that which exudes from them will be forbidden. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, who makes the distinction between la'oichlin and everything else. V'chachomim omrin, bein la'oichlin, bein l'mashkin, hayotze mehen osur. The chachomim say, even if you gathered them for eating, and this is really the point we were looking for, and you'll notice we have a dot underline under the word la'ochlin here and a couple lines up again. This is the point of controversy we were looking for, that you gather the tutim and rimonim for eating purposes, whether for eating or for juice purposes, hayotze mehen osur. That which exudes from them will be prohibited. So at this point in the Gemara, we have found the point of controversy between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim on the heels of what we saw above in the name of Shmuel, where everyone seemed to be modeh to everyone else. We said, based on, we saw that Rav Nachman Ritzel told us that it was a tutim rimonim, you would have the machlokas. So here we found it, namely tutim and rimonim that were gathered for eating purposes. Rabbi Yehuda will be lenient and the Chachamim will be stringent. We have here a very long bracket. This bracket continues till the next Amid, till Kuf Mem Dalid, Amid Aleph. You can see we have a bracket length indicator that is a dash dotted line running along the left hand side of the Gemara text all the way down Kuf Mem Dalid. The reason for these brackets is explained by our note on the side. So Grayim Lashane Diluk, for the purpose of skipping, this is for the purpose of skipping this section, Lishmor al Retzef HaChashiva, because we want to maintain a certain type of continuity in the logic and the thought process that we're currently involved. And that is the focus on Shmuel, where everyone was moded to everyone else, and there was one point of controversy. So we found the one point of controversy after the bracketed section. If you skip for a moment, you'll see a double underlining, and the Gemara points out Ashkechon Rav Yehuda Demoidi LeRabbanan B'Zeisim V'Anavim. We have seen, and that is indicated by the arrow you can see pointing you back to Kuf Mem Gimel Amid Beis. Notice the arrow there. At that point, we found that Rav Yehuda was moded to the Rabbanan in Zeisim V'Anavim, because we have a Tanaic source. The Reisha of the source we already learned pointed out that there was agreement regarding Zeis Manovim, with the juices that ooze out of them, even if you gather them for eating purposes, everyone agrees, namely even Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Rabbanim that the juices will be usher. The Gemara there will then say, fine, we've seen already Rabbi Yehuda that's moided to Rabbanan, that's by Zeis Manovim. The Rabbanan that are moided to Rabbi Yehuda, Bashar Peres, where do we see that? And that will be the subject of the Gemara there at the bottom of Kuf Mem Dalet Omen Aleph. That having been said, we appreciate why we have the brackets. Once again, we wanted to focus at first glance at what Shmuel had said regarding everyone being moded to each other. That having been said, our note continues. Let's continue with our bracket note. Besocha sagraim, within the bracketed section, HaGemara makshe kushya, the Gemara will raise a question, al ha de katoni beinyan stam, regarding that which the Tanaic source that we read said regarding the stam case of tutim and rimonim. Beshitas Rabbi Yehuda, the stam appeared in Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. A question will be raised. Mima shemuva b'mokor acher b'inyan stam. A question will be raised from another source regarding a case of stam, and then umitaretzis. And within this whole bracketed section, the question that is raised will be answered. So now, thanks to Gemara markings, and especially our bracket marking, we can focus our attention on a very specific point. So now, that having been said, we turn to the Gemara text. At the beginning of the bracketed section, take note that this is accompanied by a very long question marking. We will have to point out that the end of the source, which appears at the upper few lines of Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, will be of most significance for us. This source deals with different liquids, and it focuses on milk, human mother milk, and animal milk, cow's milk, goat's milk, that type of milk. It's called Cholov Behema. We are going to be speaking about these liquids as being what's called a machshir lekabel tumah. The word that will appear in the source is metame. But metame, for our purposes, means setting up fruits to absorb tumah. Fruits will not absorb tumah unless they were exposed to one of seven different types of liquids. And in our case, we're focusing on milk. Another aspect of mashkin being machshir lekabel tumah involves the idea of rotzon. Did you want the liquid to be there or to come forth or not? That's the rotzon. And then you have also the case of shalol rotzon, where you didn't want it to be there. So now let's take a look at the source and focus on what needs to be as we go on. The Gemara asks, Vesava Rabbi Yehuda stam aser? Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that stam, as we saw just above in the source, that the tutim ananovim, liquids that were the fruits that were gathered without any specific purpose, will be aser, meaning they're considered mashkin, they're considered a liquid, and therefore aser on Shabbos? V'hotnan, we have the following source. Actually, before we go on, let's just take a look at the Rashi, a few lines down from here. V'sova rebuta stam shelo pirei shloche v'lo lemashke, that he gathered the tutim and rimonim without specifying for food purposes or for their juice content. Havei hamashke hazov meim oser. Is it really so that the mashke, the liquid that oozes from them, is forbidden? Meaning it would be classified as a mashke, as a liquid, and not just that as an extension of the fruit as such. So is that really so, V'atnan? We have a Tanaic source, as we said, this is a long source. Cholofu isha mitame l'rotzon v'shelo l'rotzon. Human milk will be machshir l'kabel tumah, and only if something is a mashkeh will it be capable of being machshir l'kabel tumah. So the mother milk will machshir l'kabel tumah, whether it came out from her willingly or it came out on its own, it dripped out. It's called, and Rashi simply points out that cholov is classified as a mashke. There are seven different kinds of mashke. Cholov is one of them, and it's based on a pasuk in Sefer Shoftim. This is in contrast. We continue in the source. Cholov behema eino mitama elo l'rotzon. Animal milk, it's cow's milk, goat's milk, will not be machshir l'kabel tumah unless you had it flow willingly. You milked the cow, you milked the goat. Then the mashke will be, if it falls on fruits, it will machshir them, it will ready them, set them up for kabbalas tuma. Omar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva takes issue with what we just learned.
Kal v'chomer hu. He uses kal v'chomer logic to come to an opposite conclusion. And he says as follows, Uma cholof ha'isha she'eino miyuchad elo liktanim. Mother's milk, which is designated for infants only, ktanim, or small ones, for infants. Metame l'rotzon v'shelo l'rotzon. You're telling me that it's metame even if it came out shelo l'rotzon, even without desire, specific intent, it dripped out, and if it falls on fruits, it will machshu them. Cholof ha'behemo. Animal milk, it's something useful for everybody, not just infants. Adults drink animal milk also. Certainly should have a mashke status, and therefore metama means mashke lekabotum, even shalola rotzen, even if you did not have intent for it to come out. So notice what we've highlighted with our markings. On the second line of this source, you see a dashed underline Ela L'Ratzon. Here we dashed line Bein Shelo L'Ratzon. This is to highlight the point of controversy between the Tanakama and Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva being stricter in certain terms of more chances of Hechshir L'Kabel Tumah, even if the animal milk came out Shelo L'Ratzon. Omru Lo, we use a squiggle underline to keep track of the back and forth discussion in the source. So the Rabbonan said to Rabbi Akiva, Im Tome Cholof Ha'isha Shelo L'Ratzon. As we said, human milk is Metame Shelo L'Ratzon, there's a reason for that. Shedam Agafosa Tome. Blood that comes from a person in an injury, blood that flows in an injury from a person, that is machshir. Blood is dam chalolim yishka. There's a pasuk that says thusly, and that indicates to us that and that blood that comes from a corpse, from a murder victim, and also from an injury victim, is a mashke. So that's why we see this stringency with regard to human milk. Once again, human injury blood is machshir, so human milk will have this added aspect of machshir even shelo l'rotzon. However, yitame cholof behemo shelo l'rotzon shedam agafosator. But are you going to say the same thing by milk of a behemo? Should it be damet shelo l'rotzon? Blood injury, blood from an animal is not machshir. So we see a greater limitation by animals. Therefore, we argue that animal milk shelo l'rotzon is not machshir. Omar lohem, Rabbi Akiva responds, Machmir ani becholov mi bedam. I maintain stringency by milk more so than blood. To metame by milk, shelo l'ratzon, shehacholev l'refua tame. One who milks an animal for the health benefits of an animal. Refua sebehema. One who milks an animal for refua purposes, that milk is machshir l'kabel tumah v'amekis l'refua tor. But one who bloodlets an animal, that blood is not machshir. So we see a greater limitation by blood, so that I have reason for making this distinction that by animal milk it will be machshir even shelo l'ratzon. Amru lo, the Rabbanon said back to Rabbi Kiva, you cannot compare shelo l'ratzon to that which comes out the ratzon. Sale zaysim vanovim yochichu shamashkin hayotze mehen l'ratzon tmein shelo l'ratzon tahorim. Baskets that in which one gathered zaysim anovim and liquids ooze from them, well, if it's l'ratzon, then tmein shelo l'ratzon tahorim. So that the Rabbanan are insisting on their approach that if it's shelo l'ratzon, it will not be machshir. And as we saw before, that's what the Shitas HaChomim was, that milk is not mitama if it's shelo l'ratzon. Now, here we come to the point, our main point, my lav. L'ratzon means denicha lei. You wanted it to come out. Then it's machshir. Shelo l'ratzon bestamo. This is the point we were coming to, in this source, the expression that we just read at the end of the source, shelo ratzon, means there was stam, means bistamo, meaning lacking specific positive intent for the liquids. That's stamo. And now we use logic. Zeisim and Avim, which are famous for their juice content, and we see here that Bistam, it's nothing, it's not Machshir, it's not considered a Mashke. Tutim v'rimoinim delav b'nei schita ninu lo kol shekein. Tutim and Anovim, Tutim and Rimonim, which are not designed for their fruit content. Some people like the juices, but it's not, they're not specified for that. All the more so, that's lo kol shekein, that bistam, they will be not, it won't be considered a mashke, and it won't be mashir, and the stam, they're tahorim, it's not considered a mashke. This is our question. We saw before that Rabbi Yehuda was going to say that the stam case of Tutim and Rimonim was considered a mashke, and therefore usur to use on Shabbos. Here we see the stam mashke of Tutim and Rimonim as being considered a non-mashke, and therefore it should be something allowed on Shabbos. The Gemara rejects this. This, as we said, this was the end of our long question. The Gemara now answers, no question. Loi, l'ratzon is bistama. In the source we saw above, where it said l'ratzon tamein, that's the case of stama, meaning it's even if it's bistam, you gathered them without a specific intention, they are machshir lekabel tuma, because they are considered a mashke. That's bistamo, it's considered a mashke. Shelo l'ratzon, what's that case? The goli adaite, he showed us, he revealed to us, the omar lo nicholi, I don't want the liquids. Only then it's not mashir, only then it's not considered a mashke. The Rashi, the goli daite behed yo, the omar lo nicholi. That's the ultimate, so to speak, that it's not a mashke. I don't want the juices to ooze from them. The Iboyasema, shiny, another approach to this, to the whole question, in other words, that there's no question from the source involving the Zeisim and Anovim, shiny Saleh Zeisim Vanovim, the case of Saleh, and here the emphasis is on baskets. Baskets are woven material that has holes in it. Kevan de li'ibud kaimi, since any liquids that come from them will ooze out and go to the ground, they're going to be destroyed. So, me'ikora afkuri mifkuri lehuf. At the outset, he was mafkir them, declared them of no significance. And that's why they are not machshir lekabel tuma. But you cannot conclude from that to the case of tutim and rimonim stama, where you don't have this type of open declaration of hefker. So we take a look at Rashi. The Iboyasema, four lines from the bottom, Iboyasema, shiny sali zaysin vanovim, the dafke nokat salin. The source we saw spoke specifically about the case of baskets. Shamashka noitif men noifil oretz, the mashka that drips from them falls groundwards, v'hoylich li'ibud, and goes for its waste. V'yukuch stamalo nichoy. Therefore, in the stam case of zeisim and anavim, in baskets, he is not happy with it, and therefore they're not machshir. Afkuri miftar, Rashi says, lahu mashka, he's mafkir that mashka, he's not interested in owning it. Avoshar kelim afilu tutim v'rimoinim, but other types of vessels that are closed vessels, that they don't drip forth from them, emaloch stam lamashka, I will tell you the stam case is lamashka, hence justifying Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that we saw in the source on the previous omid, that stam, just like limashkin, stam, juices of tutim v'rim and rimonim will be usur on Shabbos, as that they are termed mashkin. And we saw before we looked at this sugya, we saw Ashkechon reviewed the Gemoydi the Rabbanon Bezeis Amnovim. We pointed out that up till now we were dealing with Shmuel's halacha, where each one admits to the other one. We find Rabbi Yehuda concedes to the Rabbanon. We saw this already by Zeisim Amnovim. That's the arrow that points back to Kuf Mem Gimel Amid Beis. But with that, we conclude our shiur for today.